Good morning, everyone. I am the executive director over technical operations at OUCC. I've been with OUCC 10 years and great place to work. And I welcome you all, and I welcome the opportunity to talk to you this morning. All right, I'm going to dive right into it because I've got 15 minutes, and this is actually 15 minutes and 40 seconds when I timed it, and I don't want Mark to get his hook out and pull me off. So, whoops, that's not going to work. Okay.
Do you need a little bit more room?
Yeah, if I could. That'll be fine right there. All right. Okay, it's kind of interesting and appropriate, I believe, that Bob used the term that an IRP is a snapshot in time. And it's a snapshot in time in the realm of utility planning. It's basically outdated as soon as it's submitted to the IURC, and sometimes before. However, it's an important snapshot in time because it's the foundation used to guide decisions surrounding both supply and demand side resources, especially within the short 2-year time period where IRPs are updated. And that interval could change to 3 years, according to the straw man that is currently being commented on. So just for fun and giggles, I thought we'd start with a bit of history. So for those of you that haven't been involved, you kind of understand where we've been in the last several years. In 2011, the IURC, OUCC, Indiana Electric Investor-Owned Utilities, or IOUs, and a variety of other stakeholders participated in a rulemaking process to update Indiana's longstanding IRP rule. Because of Governor Daniels' moratorium on new rulemaking, a practice continued by Governor Pence, the 2011 proposed revisions to the IRP rule were never finalized. Nevertheless, with commission approval, the utilities and the stakeholders agreed to follow the proposed rule revisions, which, for the first time ever, required IOUs to use the public stakeholder process when developing future IRPs. Then last year, 2015, in the wake of the rulemaking mandate and Senate enrolled Act 412, the IURC relaunched its effort to update its IRP and DSM rules. It held a series of pre-rulemaking meetings to solicit input from stakeholders prior to issuing the new straw man draft proposed rules. The IURC used the 2011 version of the the IRP rule revisions and the current version of the DSM rule as the starting point or basis on which to build comments. I'm just interested, how many of you have never been to any stakeholder process meeting? Okay, all right, so, but yet and still, I'd like to set a foundation just to make sure through all the process and the rest of the day, I'd like everybody to kind of be refreshed on what the straw man rule and the 2011 proposed rule says regarding the stakeholder process. So what I'm gonna do, and I'm going to walk through that section of the proposed rule, the 2011 rule, and I'm going to point out any proposed language that's part of the straw man. So before you pull out your cell phones and start checking email, I have condensed it and very carefully paraphrased it. So, but I am going to read it because I want to make sure that I don't misinterpret what I have carefully paraphrased here. But there's three main sections within the public advisory process in the proposed rule. One is outlining the process, two is administering the process, and three are topics that must be included and discussed during the process. All right? So, under the current straw man, investor-owned electric utilities would be required to establish a public advisory process outlined as below. The utility must provide information to and solicit from and consider relevant and timely, those are two, excuse me, new words to the 2015, input from any interested party in regard to the development of the utility's IRP. The utility must consider and timely, again, new word, respond to all relevant input provided by interested parties, including questions, comments submitted by way of concerns from the commission or its staff. And then third, the utility retains full responsibility for the content of its IRP. Now, this is how the proposed rule states it should be administered. A utility initiates and convenes its own public advisory process. The utility will hold at least one introductory meeting and at least one additional meeting regarding the utility's proposed preferred resource portfolio before the utility submits its IRP to the commission. And I'm going to come back to that later. So there's one introductory and one detailed meeting. Depending on the level of interest by the commission staff, the public and interested parties, and the public and utility's public advisory process, the utility may hold additional meetings. And just to note, every utility has had more than just two meetings. Utility must take reasonable steps to notify its customers and the commission of its public advisory process and provide notification to known interested parties. The timing of meetings shall be determined by the utility to be consistent with its internal IRP development schedule and provide an opportunity for public participation in a timely manner that may affect the utility's resource planning efforts. Okay, and again, most all of this is from the 2011 proposed rule. This next point has been updated quite a bit. The utility or its designee shall chair the participation in the process, schedule meetings, and develop, and most all of this remaining is new language. So develop and publish agendas and relevant material for those meetings at least 7 days prior to the meeting, and develop and publish meeting minutes within 15 days following each meeting. And then finally, participants are allowed to request that relevant items be placed on the agenda of the meetings with adequate prior notice to the utility. Now, I'm going to list what the rules that are proposed rule says topics that need to be discussed in these meetings. The utility's load forecast, evaluation of existing resources, evaluation of supply and demand side resource alternatives, including associated cost and performance attributes, modeling methods and input, treatment of risk and uncertainty, and rationale for determining the preferred portfolio. Okay, so where are we now? From the OUCC's perspective, there's been definite advantages realized through the IRP process, or IRP stakeholder process, I'm sorry. It allows, it allows an understanding of the IRP process. For example, today's educational session is designed to provide a primer for stakeholders who may not be familiar with IRPs and the current process. It also allows stakeholders to provide input into the planning process. For example, stakeholders have provided input in such areas as low growth assumptions, emerging technology, carbon prices, demand side management, distributed generation resources, and many other things. It allows greater understanding of how the utility arrived at its final scenarios or preferred portfolio selections. Before we had the stakeholder process, and it was voluntarily implemented in 2012, the first time stakeholders were exposed to the IRP's content is after the finished IRPs were submitted to the IURC. Now, the stakeholders have the advantage of understanding the building blocks used to develop the IRP and were able to ask questions and provide input throughout the planning process. However, those are all good things, but there's still room for improvement in at least these following areas. The OUCC, the IURC, and other stakeholders are at a disadvantage because we don't have access to the sophisticated modeling software that the utilities use in their analyses. Therefore, we as stakeholders must rely on discussions at stakeholder meetings. Throughout the public stakeholder process, utilities should provide a clear understanding to stakeholders of the assumptions that they used, the reasons behind those assumptions, and what weight those assumptions play in their models. Since stakeholders lack access to IRP models, it is imperative that utilities ensure all stakeholders understand the workings of the model, including any restrictions. I will note that some utilities are very good at communicating with stakeholders, and we really appreciate that. They document all questions and comments and provide written responses. They develop innovative ways to allow more active stakeholder participation, and that is especially an important goal for Indiana Electric IOU, since Senate Enrolled Act 412 requires utilities to consider public input in formulating ESM plans. Next item that for improvement, when IRPs are ultimately submitted to the IURC, we need to determine how the questions and concerns that stakeholders have expressed throughout the stakeholder process have or have not been implemented and incorporated into the IRP document. Now, sometimes this is a difficult task, even when the utility has been transparent in answering the questions along the way, the stakeholder process. So the IRP proposed rule states that utilities shall consider stakeholder input, but often it's unclear exactly how the utility actually considered that input, if at all. The IRP proposed rules also states that the IRP must contain, among other things, quote, a summary of the utility's most recent public advisory process, including key issues discussed and how they were addressed by the utility, end quote. While the OUCC believes all parties are attempting to abide by this language, there's still room for improvement. Therefore, to improve communication during the stakeholder process and documentation, the OUCC recommends adding an expectation to the straw man rule that utilities respond in writing to each of the stakeholders' written or verbal concerns, indicating whether the utility considers the comment or concern relevant, to use the proposed rules language, whether the utility will address the comment or concern in its IRP, and if so, how, and then if the answers to either of those questions are no, the utility should explain its reasoning why. The OUCC has been impressed with the IURC's participation in this process. And most notably, we find Dr. Bourne's report very helpful. Now that we have all completed the first full cycle of all the electric IOU's IRP development and submission under the new public stakeholder process, the OUCC has been concerned that some of Dr. Bourne's recommendations have not been fully embraced by the utilities. Although the parties comment and reply regarding Dr. Bourne's report, in some cases the parties' comments and utilities' replies seem to be disjointed. And that's, I don't mean that to be a criticism, I know it may sound like it, but some things are just difficult to communicate in writing, as those of you know who write and respond to discovery. So therefore, the OUCC recommends a face-to-face meeting to discuss Dr. Bourne's draft report after the parties have commented on the report, but before Dr. Bourne develops his final report. The OUCC believes that this extra step will add value and clarity to the process. While, to quote the proposed rule, the utility retains full responsibility for the content of its IRP, end quote, the proposed rule contemplates that the utility summarize in its IRP the key issues addressed in the public advisory process, quote, and how they were addressed by the utility, end quote. Because of the tight connection between the filed IRPs and other utility docketed filings that depend on IRP planning and modeling outcomes, ratepayers' interests would be better served by increased transparency. That transparency should include a clear indication by the utility of how key issues were discussed in the process and how they have been accounted for in the IRP. So that takes us to the road ahead. As Bob mentioned, we're in the process of commenting on the straw man. And some red lines to the straw man change the ranking order for the portfolio from present value of revenue requirement, PVRR, to what's called cost effectiveness, which is not a concrete measurement. The OUCC and other consumer parties are concerned about this proposed change, but I'm not here to discuss the OUCC's comments and sell you on our comments on the straw man. I simply mention it in the perspective of the stakeholder process. In the proposed rule, both in 2011 and 2015 version, it stated, and we went through this before, so I'll say it again quickly. The public advisory process shall be administered as follows. The utility shall initiate and convene its own public advisory process. The utility will hold at least one introductory and one meeting to talk about its preferred resource portfolio. My point is changing the portfolio ranking criteria from a known standard to one that is not could complicate the stakeholders' analysis and could likely add more stakeholder comments regarding the assumptions used in the cost effectiveness test and also require more work by the utility to answer this question. So therefore, the OUCC recommends that utilities continue to plan for more than just the one introductory and then the one follow-up meeting to discuss their preferred resource portfolios. And again, I'll stress that currently the utilities are all having more than just the two meetings, but I wanted to emphasize the importance of that, especially given the changes that are appearing in the straw man. So that's all I have.
Great. Well, thank you. I really appreciate you.